You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1pm with Mick Norton, Rory Delaghi and James Millman in the studio. Another good day to look forward to. It's Derby Day at Epsom. We'll bring you all of the action from there. We've also got Musselburgh, Doncaster, Hexham and Worcester in the afternoon, and it's Newcastle and Lingfield in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am looking forward to a cracking weekend at Epsom.
Yeah, it certainly is. We've got some cracking racing to look forward to. We're going to look at four of those races. The Derby, though, Rory, let's add a bit of colour before we get stuck into the race previews. Is it a race that you remember from being a knee-high to a grasshopper kind of child?
Not so much as races like the Gold Cup or the Grand National, particularly the Grand National. I do remember Shergar particularly well, and he was the horse who really ignited my flat interest, which was a few years after I was interested in the jumping. It's one of those things, it's not to denigrate flat racing at all, it's just as a kid, certainly when I was growing up, in the summer, you were outside all the time
yeah.
when the flat racing was on. In the winter, you know, you're much more likely to be sat in front of the TV of a Saturday afternoon, and that's why jump racing is easier to get into. But yeah, when you get horses like Shergar come along, they're very difficult to ignore.
Yeah, the Shergar Derby win, unfortunately, a bit before my time, so I couldn't see it as it happened. I've looked at it since, obviously, and on the day, that must have been just remarkable, just to see a performance like that.
Yeah, to see a horse win a Derby by 10 lengths on the bridle is something else. It's very easy to go back and look at that race and say, actually, there was nothing in behind him at all, was there? There was one very good horse, essentially, in behind him who got a dreadful run and ended up finishing out the back, who ended up being the champion four-year-old the following season. But those who chased him home were nothing special. But there was an air about Shergar of almost invincibility, which he sadly lost on heavy ground in his final start in the Ledger. But through that summer, he was untouchable, and he was just one of those horses who really captures the imagination.
Mm. It was on a Wednesday back then as well, wasn't it?
So yeah, bring it back, I say. Yeah, there was something about the Derby on a Wednesday that had a feel that you just don't quite get on the weekend. It's lost a little bit on a Saturday. I know it's still the big event there, but the notion of taking a day off, and I remember watching a couple of derbies when I was off school for various reasons, and again you had that sort of that hint of naughtiness about it as well, which you lose a little bit in a weekend. But there you go, it's done now, and it's unlikely to go back.
Yeah, that Rory always gets flu in the start of
it's funny,
you know,
that isn't
start
it
start of
yeah.
June
yeah.
Anyway, let's get stuck into the racing on Saturday then. The first race we're going to look at is the 2:35 at Epsom. It's the Woodcut Stakes, which is a listed race over 6 furlongs. It's for the 2-year-olds, and 8 of the 10 2-year-olds here have won a race, so it's quite an interesting race.
Yeah, it's always the best 2-year-old race of the season before Royal Ascot, essentially. It's a tricky track, Epsom, for a young horse, and Derby Day's got a massive atmosphere, so it's not just a test of how well they'll handle the track, it's a big test of how they will handle the atmosphere as well. And as a result, I do like to have a horse with a bit of experience. Mark Johnson's got an extremely strong hand. He's won this race 4 times before. He knows what it takes to prepare one for it. And he's got two who run in the colours of Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed. Aliko, who's a very, very interesting one, only had the one run, won very easily at Haydock on his debut late last month. He's maybe one of the sexiest horses in the race. But Buratino, who runs in the same colours, he's down to run in the second colours. But I think it'd be very dangerous to assume that he is the second string. He's got plenty of Group 1, Group 2 entries later in the season. And he's shown himself to be very good. He was out early, winning on Chelmsford the first day of the season, essentially. But he's improved in his start since. And he was, I wouldn't say unlucky to finish second in the National Stakes at Sandown the other day, but the 5 furlong trip was no help to him that day, and he was slowly out of the stalls. But he ran on past talented horses to finish second to King of Rooks. He's crying out for a return to the 6 furlongs. He will handle the track better than most. He's drawn in the middle, which is fine. ideally you want to be drawn lowish, but of course the problem with being drawn low at Epsom is if you aren't able to hold a good position there, it can be very difficult in terms of traffic problems. But given the experience he has, he should be absolutely fine where he is. And because he runs in the second colours, and Aleko's got that slightly sexier profile, I think the Burattino is going to go off at an each way price. I think he's 4-1 with Hills already. I think he'll be in the first people who've priced the race up. You might get even bigger than that on the day, but I think he's an each way bet to nothing. I think one or two of these just won't handle either the track or the experience, whereas Burattino, he's been there and he's done it. He will be unshakable on the day. And while there might be something to improve past him, I think he's very, very solid, and he should be the kind of horse you'll anchor each way bets with.
Okay, one you didn't really mention in there, Nelspre. Richard Hannon, well, the Hannon team have a pretty decent record in the race. He's run out of track in Goodwood that's kind of similar with the undulations.
Yeah, and it's almost certainly deliberate that Nelspre went there having shaped very well on debut at Newbury over 6 furlongs, dropped him back to 5 to get him off the mark, and a maiden that Richard Hannon has used in the past, Richard Hannon Senior as well, for some of their better juveniles. In terms of what he's achieved so far, he's got a bit to find, in my opinion, certainly with Burattino, but his profile is a promising one, and the fact that that Hannon went to Goodwood to win his maiden, you know, is a positive sign. The bare form needs improving on a little bit, but he should do that. He's run a stall too, which, as I said, is theoretically a good draw, but one that you need to utilise early.
Let's move on to the first of the group ones next then, the Investec Coronation Cup. It's over a mile and a half, the betting headed by Dolnia, who's 4-5, 13-8 for Flintshire, 14-1 for Peter's Moon, and 20s or bigger for the others, priced up as a match. Rory, do you see it that way?
I don't even see it as a match, to be perfect. I mean, Flintshire's good enough to pull Dolnia through this, but she's got the Indian sign over him. She's beaten him twice this season. He has a habit, Flintshire, of finishing second in top races, as he did in this race last year. For a horse of his ability, the fact that he's finished second so often is a little bit of a worry. And she really is special, Dolnia. Everyone's talking about Trev for the Arc come October, but Dolnia could be a big threat to her come that time. She's a big filly who took time to come to herself last year. She improved all through last season, ran really well to be fifth to Trev at Longchamp at the end of last season, and has improved again this season. I know Trev looks like she's gone forward again as well, it has to be said, but everything about Dolnia in terms of her physique and the way she's been brought on suggests that she has yet to hit her peak, and given that she's already better than Flintshire, it's very hard to see her getting beat. The only issue you have is, you know, that Flintshire handles Epsom, having been here last year, and she's quite a big, heavy topped filly, and a few people might think that she might struggle with the track, but having seen her race, she looks beautifully balanced. And I don't really see that as an issue. Epsom isn't really about size. They often say that small, nippy types do better here. But essentially, if you're well-balanced, you will do well at Epsom. And a big, well-balanced horse is better than a small, well-balanced horse. And she looks not quite a class apart. She's only a couple of pounds better than him, essentially. But she's proven to be better than him on a number of occasions, and she's only going to get better. So hard to see past her winning that. And to be honest, the forecast looks a bit of a lock as well.
OK, well, we won't overcomplicate that too much. We'll move on to a much more complicated competition in the, easy for me to say, the Investec Dash, the Heritage Handicapper Class 2 event over 5 furlongs. It's the fastest 5 furlongs, as it's known. And Caspian Prince heads the market at 13-2, 8-1 for Chicklet and Seeking Magic, 10s for Monsieur Joe and Steps, 11-1 for Monumental Man, 12s for Barnet Fair and Perfect Muse, and 14s or bigger for the others. I'm glad it's you on this side of the desk and not me, because yes, it's almost impossible, isn't it?
It does look very difficult. The way to try to get a handle on the Dash is working out how it's going to be run. And there's plenty of speed in the race, obviously, for what is the fastest 5 furlongs in Europe and possibly the world, although Santa Anita might have words to say about that with a similar sort of track. Sylvanus has drawn 20 of 20. Ideally, you want to be drawn high here. To be able to get close to the standside rail is a bonus. A lot of the speed's actually out in the middle of the track, which probably counts against those there. But there is half a chance that those drawn on the outside are able to blaze a trail on their own and help each other. The likes of Chicklet drawn out there. Desert Law and Smooth Talking Rascal. Smooth Talking Rascal was runner-up on this a couple of years ago. A Monumental Man's got a lot of speed. But logic suggests that those drawn in double figures will have an advantage. Sylvanus may well lead them, the 10-year-old, but he hasn't looked very happy at Epsom in the past when he's been tried here. I can see him getting to the rail and going fast, but then hanging off the rail and moving towards the centre track a little bit, and those who can tuck in behind him should be well placed. The one who makes a huge amount of appeal to me is last year's runner-up Seeking Magic, who's drawn in stall 11. He is 6 pounds lower in the weights now than he was last season. He'll get a lovely toe through this in the early stages, tends to race just behind the leaders. So I think he'd be able to tuck in behind Sylvanus, and when that one begins to weaken and or hang off the rail, he should be in a good position to poke his way up the rail and finish strongly. The biggest danger may well be a stable companion, Perfect Muse, who's going the right way. The only concern with her is whether she would really enjoy a very fast 5 furlongs on firm ground. Her best performance to date has come on heavy, although she's pretty much adaptable in terms of the ground. She finished strongly at Goodwood last time out, and if she gets the brakes at the right time, she'll be finishing best of all from stall 16.
Okay, the big race of the afternoon next then, the 4:30 at Epsom. It's the Investec Derby, a Group 1 over a mile and a half. It's for the three-year-olds. It's the biggest classic of them all. Golden Horn 6-4 at the top of the market, Jack Hobbs 9-2, 13-2 for Elm Park, 7-1 for Giovanni Canaletto, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you fancy to win the Derby?
Well, I think this race is all about the Dante, which Golden Horn won impressively. He was due to run in the French Derby after that, the Prix de Jockey Club, but has been rerouted here and supplemented at a cost of $75,000. Only one horse has been supplemented for the Derby and won before, and that was Chris Kinn. In terms of form, he stands out because he's beaten Jack Hobbs, he's beaten Elm Park, and for me they're the biggest dangers. The only issue with Golden Horn is whether he's going to stay, and you end up getting into this debate about, you know, how hard he hit the line at York, and he didn't look to be stopping, is the old adage. I hate that adage. I mean, if you stay a mile and a quarter, you stay a mile and a quarter. You're not stopping at the end of a mile and a quarter, but that doesn't mean you'll stay a mile and a half. And on pedigree, he needs to prove he can do it. And John Gosden and his owner didn't think he would stay, or they wouldn't have not entered him in the first place. So the fact that they were planning to go for a mile and a quarter race, a mile two and a half in France, rather than the Derby, suggests that they think he's a mile and a quarter horse. He may get away with it, but he's going to be a very short price. And I think the pair he beat at York are capable of turning the tables, because they will both stay. Jack Hobbs is still improving, stable companion of Golden Horn, and a horse he was always going to go for the Derby. Given that he was running in an ordinary Wolverhampton maiden in December, shows how quickly he's come in a short space of time. He will improve again. He showed at Sandown that he will stay all day. His dam sire is Swain, who won the King George twice, including on heavy ground. He's a danger. But I love Elm Park. He's the kind of horse you want to overlook, because you want the Derby winner to be sexy and unbeaten and all that kind of thing. And he's had plenty of racing, and he was only third in that Dante, but he would have needed the run. He will definitely stay in my book. He's the son of Phoenix Reach. He's not a terribly sexy sire. He had been seen as a National Hunt sire, essentially. But he's got a couple of classy winners in the flat in recent times. And Elm Park was thoroughly professional as a two-year-old. Won the Racing Post Trophy, won the Royal Lodge. Needed the run when third in the Dante. I thought he shaped really well that day. He will improve more than the pair who beat him, and I can't see him out of the frame. The only thing that beats him here, that gets him out of the frame, is if the sun really blazes down in the next 24 hours and the going turns firm. That would be a minor issue for him. But he's run well and good to firm twice. For all, he was taken out of the 2000 Guineas because of the fast ground. So it shouldn't be that much of an issue. And he's going to be overpriced because people don't like backing horses with his profile. But he's guaranteed to run a race and shouldn't be out of the three.
Okay, Elm Park for Rory then. In the Derby, superb stuff. Thank you very much, Rory, and enjoy it on Saturday.
My pleasure, thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory DeLaghi on Saturday's racing. It's Derby Day, and we'll bring you all of the action on William Hill Racing Radio from 1 p.m. Mick Norton, Rory DeLaghi, and James Millman will be in the studio, so don't miss any of that. Make sure you tune in. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.